scripture reading this morning be taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Be reading from the New King James Version. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversities, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is it in me.
Good morning. I love sunshine, don't y'all? I tell you, we've had a rainy enough time. I'm glad the doors are open. Now, the ladybugs may attack a little bit more today than normal, but at least we got the sunshine to bring them in. So we're thankful that you're here. To our visitors, we want you to know how happy we are that you chose to be with us. And we really want you to think about being a part of this family as you visit with us. Some of you have been visiting with us for a while. Some of you are first time today. And let me just say thank you so much for being here. And if you haven't already passed the clipboards down your row, if you'll take time to sign those, both our guests and our members, that way we'll have a record of everybody's attendance with us today, and we sure would appreciate it. If you notice, we're not as crowded as we normally are in here today. We have 75 plus of our young people and adults that went to CYC this weekend. If you're unfamiliar with CYC, it's a youth conference that we have this time every year. And we have a big group that goes. They'll be making their way home this afternoon. And I'm not sure if they'll get back in time for our evening service or not, but we are thankful that they have been there and had a great weekend and enjoyed that fellowship. I think there's about 12,000 people that assembled for that conference this weekend. And so it's a big event. And yet we have good things, though. We have plenty of good seats available today. You don't have to sit in a hard chair unless you just want to. And we made sure that we put all the hard ones in the very back for you people that love the back row. I tell you, I don't know if I'm just that offensive or what. You don't want to get too close to me. But let me also remind you that next Sunday is Friends Day. And I want all of you to be here and bring somebody with you. We have David Light, who will be with us as our guest speaker. We're looking forward to him being with us for the morning services, both our class and our worship. Some of you have asked, what are we going to do with all of our friends? Because we've been packed in here on a regular Sunday, every Sunday so far this year. And let me assure you that we're going to make sure we have enough chairs in here for your friends. We're going to scoot everything up a little closer to the front, so you front row people really will be your front row people then. And then around the back, and even if we have to open these doors and extend into the kitchen, we're going to have plenty of seats. So don't let that keep you from inviting your friends to be with us, and it'll be a great day. And hopefully everybody will have success in getting your friends to come with you. This is a great opportunity, too, to invite friends who aren't Christians, somebody who doesn't know about Jesus, because we want to help our friends with the best thing that we could ever help them with, and that's to know who Jesus is. And so if you'll take time to invite people this week, that would be wonderful, and we will enjoy a great Sunday next Lord's Day. As you know, this month we've been focused on getting involved in the Lord's work, finding your place in His kingdom. And in conjunction with that, we've focused on 29 days of missions that we're finishing up basically today and tomorrow. And all that is great activity that we ought to be involved in, and we ought to find where we can use our talents in service to God. And that's been the whole point of many of our lessons, is to try to help everybody to know what your talents are and how you can use them in the kingdom. And what our lesson is today is to tie all that together, talking about mission work and not only being aware and involved of what all is happening with our missionaries in other countries, but also involved in our own type mission here locally. Because in reality, every one of us who are Christians are missionaries. You know, we have the responsibility to reach out to those who don't know about Jesus and try to help them to know that saving message. And so I hope today that all this will tie together and we can make good sense out of it. But so let me ask this question. As you see on the screen, is involvement the key to spiritual growth? Is that really what we're looking at this month as far as getting people involved? We gave you a sheet to sign up for different things that you would do in service to God. We've talked about ways that we can get involved in mission work, and we've had those sheets back there about things that we can plug into to really affect those in our community and help them to know more about Jesus. So is involvement really the key to spiritual growth? Is that really what it's all about? Well, when we think about whether or not that is the answer to that question, many times we have the struggle of thinking that maybe that is the secret. And for years, we have believed that through involvement comes growth. When I was a youth minister, I remember an old fellow coming up to me and he said, "Listen, I'll tell you the key to a great youth work." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Keep them busy all the time." He said, "You keep them busy all the time and that'll keep them out of trouble." And, you know, I thought about that. I thought, well, there is some merit to that, because if you are involved in good activities, it leaves little to no room or time for bad activities. And so when I thought about him, I thought about him this week, though, when I was preparing for this, to think, is that really what we ought to aim for in the church? To keep everybody busy, to get everybody really going? Well, in answer to this question, is involvement the key to our personal spiritual growth, where we develop and mature as Christians? That's what we're talking about as far as growth. Is that really the answer? Well, you know, we've often thought we could take a new Christian and run them through church activities, plug them in, get them involved, and when they came out on the other side, they would be spiritually mature. Almost like a car wash. You know, if you put them in on one side, they come out on the other, and all of a sudden there's been a great transformation from one to the other. Well, research and studies have shown that that's really not the case. That in answer to this question, involvement is not necessarily the key to personal spiritual growth, like we've thought many times in many different ways. Matter of fact, there was a research group that kind of came together looking at one particular church, and then it kind of branched out and made it available to all churches. It's called the Reveal Study. And this Reveal Study was done to try to find out if the members of this particular church were growing as they should. And what they found in their own church study was that when they thought they were really doing well and were up here with their membership and with their people, what that revealed was the fact that many of their people were kind of busy, but they really weren't growing. It's kind of like a hamster on the wheel, is the way I would describe it. You know, we're real active and real busy, but we're really not going anywhere. Nothing's really being accomplished. And that can be said of a lot of Christians, that they're involved in this and this program, and they're involved in this work, but as far as personal spiritual growth, it's not really taking place just because they're active and involved in all these things. And that's what this study really revealed, is the fact that many times the busyness in the church can leave people feeling incomplete, like there's still something missing. There's still something that they haven't grasped about Jesus, even through all their activity. And so what they found in this study is the fact that if church members, if Christians, would grasp the idea of growing closer to God, even while being involved, that through that process of getting to know God better, they grow spiritually and their activity means more to them. And it means more to their growth. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning and really ask, where are we in relationship to Christ? Because that's really what matters concerning our growth individually. And the reason why we bring this out is the fact that it's almost as if we have preached this month on getting involved and doing all these things, and we don't want to leave you with the impression that that's the end-all thing. That if you sign a sheet and you get involved, that all of a sudden you're going to be transformed into somebody different. But it takes an intentional walk with God for that to happen. And that's the whole point of this sermon, is to tie all that together and put it in the right perspective. To realize it's not just about being involved. It's not just about being active. But it has to be intentional along with our walk with God. So first of all, let's talk about the stages of growth. In this study, I borrowed a little bit from it as far as what they talk about that they found as far as development spiritually that takes place in people's lives. And you also see this in the Scriptures as well. And so, how do we know where we are? How do we know if we're developing? Well, when we look at these stages and we start thinking about these four stages or areas of growth, and I hope you can see them, they might be a little bit smaller. The first area is exploring Christ. And that is the fact that there are some that they basically believe in God, but they're unsure of how Jesus fits into their everyday life. And that would be those who are not Christians, who are searching for God. Those new Christians maybe that have just obeyed the gospel, who really want to be a follower of God, but yet they just don't get it just yet. They haven't figured out how Jesus really impacts their lives every day. They know they're interested, but they're kind of standoffish in one way. So they're exploring Christ. And that's the first stage of spiritual development. The second is growing in Christ. That is that a commitment has been made, and now they're learning to develop a relationship with Christ. Now they're learning more about what it means to walk with Him, to understand what it means to live like Him. And so then that's the next stage of development, is that growing in Christ. And then there's close to Christ, the third stage. And that's where you start to really feel connected with Him. To where really you're dependent on Him daily for your guidance in your decisions and your manner of life. And that's where you really are walking with Him very closely. And then the last stage is the fact that they say that you are Christ-centered. It's the most important thing in your life. It's not just something you do on Sundays or Wednesdays or that you try to do, but you are all about Jesus. You're all about giving yourself to Him daily, and that's kind of the goal. Not that there is an arrival in this stage, not that we finally get to the point where we understand everything and we feel very, very close to God. You know, there's a lot of struggles in and out, and a lot of these things are affected by events in life. You know, there are things that we experience along the way, whether it is a death of a loved one or a sick child or whatever it is, a financial challenge, that help us know that we've got to be dependent on God. That we have to draw close to Him because He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that helps us. And so a lot of variables help through these stages of growth to really help bring us closer to God. And we'll talk more of the specifics here in just a moment. But overall, this survey was one that really helped people understand a little bit more of what stages that they could possibly be in. And what many times happens is we get stuck in one of these stages. And that's really what this particular church found out as they started the survey. And when they shared it with over 20,000 other churches of different kinds, they found the same things in their churches. That people stalled out in one of these stages of development. And it's easy to do. Now physically, we understand that and we can see that readily, can't we? I told you about a fellow that I went to college with at Faulkner. When I first got on campus, I heard his name before I heard or finally met him. His nickname was Chili Dog. And if you are in Montgomery and you ever heard about Chili Dog, you'd know who Larry Giddens is. Larry has since passed away, but Larry at the time was probably 30 years old as a college student, and he was taller than me, actually, physically, but he was like a 12-year-old boy. His voice had not developed, he had no facial hair, and you would hit him and he might cry, you know, just picking with him. His development had stalled out physically at a certain point, and everybody knew that, and everybody kind of protected him a little bit because of that. Now he had intelligence and all that, but he was still like a child in a man's body, and even looked that way. He had freckles, and you know, he was just a young looking guy. And when you think about situations like that, we can readily see people who maybe have had growth problems or had some issues like that. But concerning spiritual growth, a lot of times it's not as evident. Now, if we were honest, and like this survey that they gave these people, they were being honest as they checked these certain boxes and as they filled these out, they found that a lot of people stalled either in the first or second stage. That is the fact that many people got to the point where they believed in God, but they really didn't do anything about it. They didn't make a commitment. Or really the second stage is where most of them stalled. Matter of fact, a third of the church was found in this stage. Many of these folks were new Christians who had made a commitment, but they really hadn't developed anything yet as far as how they were close to Christ or how they depended on Him. And this is the interesting part. And then we're going to leave this study and move on to the Scriptures. When this study was done, they found that many of these people who were in this second stage had been Christians 20, 30 years. They had never really developed. They had never really grown. That they stayed in that point where they just didn't see how Jesus fit into their life every day. And I would dare say that among this number today, that there are some of you who have been Christians for many, many years, and yet it's just something you do, and it's some habit that you've developed, but yet it doesn't have that impact on who you are every day. And let me just tell you, I've been there, and I tried to figure that out many years ago as well. You know, I would look at people who are more mature than me spiritually, and I would think, I don't get quite how they're that involved with God. You know, I don't get that. And I know that sounds funny coming from a preacher, but I really didn't understand that. I was trying and trying to figure it out. And I loved God, and I was trying to get close to Him, but the concept of walking with Him every day just was so foreign to me. Not growing up in a Christian home, I guess it took me longer to really grasp that. And so, let me just say, if you're there, don't feel like we're trying to point the finger at you and make you feel guilty for being there. What we want to do is help you to move on. That's the whole point of this. The whole point of this month, as far as getting you involved in the Lord's work, the whole point of getting you involved in missions, is to help everybody here grow spiritually. That's our aim and our intent. That's what we want to see happen here. And so, if you are stalled out in one of these stages, and you feel like you've been there for a long time, realize that there are certain things that you can do that will help unstall you or to get you out of that spot. And one more thing about this survey, it said these are some of the things that we found helped people to get out of that stalled position. To engage God in prayer, in solitude, and in Scripture. That's basics of anything else. And we preach it all the time. Study your Bible and pray. But what he's talking about is you getting alone with God and really allowing Him to talk to you through His Word, and you talking to Him through prayer, and not having any distractions or anything else, getting alone, and really starting to be intentional when it comes to wanting to grow spiritually. You see, it's not going to happen unless we really want it to happen. We've got to be intentional about it. To share your struggles with others. And that's the next challenge sometimes that we have, is sharing what we are feeling on the inside with somebody on the outside. Whether it's a mentor or a friend or somebody like that. A lot of times, that's our biggest challenge, of confessing our sins, talking about our struggles, the fact that we're not growing and developing like we should, the fact that our focus is not where it ought to be. We ought to be able to find somebody to help us share those struggles. Service is another area. To involve yourself in helping others gets you out of yourself. That helps promote growth again, to get you out of that stalled position. And then, as many churches do, attend a small group setting, whether it is a life group or a care group or whatever it is, where you really get to know people in a closer, deeper way. And so these are some of the ways that they found to help people get out of that stalled position and move to a different place spiritually. And when you look at what the Scriptures say, you find that growth is really important. And development ought to be ongoing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow. You know, we got these new babies around here. And by the way, we love these new babies. And anytime a baby starts crying, I want Mom and Dad in here to smile and know that we all love you and don't feel uncomfortable like we're thinking, anything negative. Because we're happy to have these young children here, right? We ought to be thankful that we have these young ones coming up. But, for example, you have these new babies, they desire that milk that they may grow. And we understand in infancy, that's what you got to have. You can't have solid food, you're not ready for it. And spiritually, that's exactly the same way the Bible says we develop. That we start off on the milk of the Word, the basics, and then we grow from there. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 15 talk about a group of people who had not developed. That they had not grown. And he's talking about for by the time you ought to be teachers, you have need, somebody teach you again the first principles, the milk of the Word, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And so he kind of talks negatively about folks who have not grown. And he says, you ought to be progressing. And that's the whole point there, that they had not grown and they needed to be growing. Same thing with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They were pledging allegiance to whoever taught them the gospel, whether it was Cephas or Apollos or Paul or whoever. And he says, you are carnal and not spiritual. And you are not growing as you should. And so when it comes to this matter of growth, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that carnality, fleshly worldliness, is an enemy of spiritual growth. And if we continue to have a carnal, fleshly, worldly mindset, then we're not going to grow spiritually as we should. And that's what he's trying to steer them away from and steer them toward the spiritual thoughts and the spiritual mindset. And so what we want to see here is the fact that there are stages of growth outlined in the Scriptures, and that the milk of the Word and the solid food of the Word is what helps us develop and grow, just like a baby grows in out of infancy into being a toddler and then a young person and then an adult. We eventually grow spiritually if we are intentional about that as well. So our focus ought to be on moving to the next level, moving on to the point where we're closer to Jesus. We figured out how to get there. And that's the whole point of the church, is we all help each other during these stages. We help each other understand what all that means. And so these are some of the stages of growth. And along with that, we find that there are stages of involvement as well. They kind of connect with that. And this is where we kind of put the two together. When it comes to stages of involvement, our activity level is kind of an indicator of our growth. You think about Luke chapter 10, you've got the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus tells this parable to really convict people about how dedicated they are, how much they are really growing as disciples of His. And He talks about this man who had fallen among thieves. Most of us in here know this story back and forth. But let's just see the elements of it. You have a man who has been attacked by other men, who's been left for dead. And then you have Jesus telling the story about a priest who happens to come down that same road and finds this man who is wounded and being left for dead. And he passes by on the other side. He doesn't stop and help him. He looks at him, no doubt. And keeps on going. Then you have a Levite, a priest and a Levite, the religious guys of their day, and a Levite comes and looks at him and passes by on the other side. And the Good Samaritan, as we know him as, who he's really known throughout even the world that aren't Christians, because Good Samaritan is a term that we understand through all areas of life. This Samaritan comes by, he sees this man, he stops, and he helps him with every need that he has. He binds up his wounds. He takes him to an inn. He takes care of him. He spends time with him. He spends money on him. He does all those things. But I want to suggest to you the fact that it takes the heart, the inside, to move us to the point where we're acting it out on the outside. And I think that's the point that Jesus was making with the priest and Levite. Even though they said they were religious guys, and even though they had a religious position in their community, did not make them true followers of Jesus.
And I think Jesus is saying, listen, even though these guys claim me or claim religion or claim God, they're really not true followers of mine unless they do what this guy did.
Because ultimately, he says, which one of these guys was neighbor to this man? They said the last. He said, go and do likewise. I want you to be a person that where it flows from the inside out. It's not because we act ourselves or put ourselves in such activities that develops the inside. The inside ought to be getting close to God to where when we do see needs, it flows naturally out that we're going to stop and help. And so the idea is the fact, as we say here, the inside conviction brings about outward activity. What we feel about God on the inside changes the way that we would live on the outside. And so, again, it's an indicator. There are times where I'm not as conscious or as active in meeting people's needs around me. And that tells me maybe I'm not as close to God as I need to be. And so it's an indicator in that way. And so let's think about stages of involvement. And let's pair that with what we just looked at in that study. Since there are stages of spiritual development, surely there's activity that kind of matches up with that. So I just kind of put this together to see if it matched up. And I feel like this works pretty well. When you think about the ones who are exploring Christ, trying to figure it out, these would be the folks who are hesitant to be involved. They would just kind of be saying, I don't think I'm quite ready for that. You ask them to teach a class or you ask them to serve on in this ministry or this group, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm just kind of not quite there yet, not quite ready to commit. Okay? Now, these are the folks, again, on that spiritual developmental stage of exploring Christ, where the activity is probably going to match up with them saying, well, I'm not quite ready to sign up. I'm not ready to get into that. Then you have the second stage, which is that of, I'll try some things. Just sign me up. I'm not exactly sure where I fit into this, but yeah, I'll start trying some different things, some different activities. I'll sign up for this, or I'll try this. And that's good, because that's where you start developing that relationship with Christ, start growing in Christ. And again, it's easy to stall out here, because when you're trying to find your place and you haven't, it's real easy to kind of back off and be hesitant all over again. To say, I'll do this every now and then. But activity level's not consistent. We're not plugging in. We're not doing things because we're still not growing in Christ as we should. And then when you think about the third one, then all of a sudden this activity becomes more meaningful. All of a sudden, now because I'm walking with Christ, what I'm doing really means something. It's not just doing stuff. It's doing things that make a difference. You know, we talked a week or two ago about how the Bible emphasizes doing. That when you really boil it down, it talks about those who did and those who did not. In Matthew 25, on Judgment Day, those who fed the hungry and clothed the naked and visited the sick, those are the ones that heard, well done, good and faithful servant. And Jesus says, when you've done it to each other, you've done it to me. Then on the other side, when the people didn't do those things, they didn't do them to Jesus. And it's all about whether you did or whether you didn't. Same thing as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He who does not do these things, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the sand. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So doing is biblical, that we ought to be doing. But let me say that biblical doing also is something that's meaningful, something that we do because we're a part of His kingdom and we're doing His will, not just to be doing stuff. Does that make sense? And I think in our churches, so many times it's been about, all about doing stuff. Let's just keep everybody active and involved. And people have been active and involved and really not known why for many years. Why am I doing this? What purpose? And some of the things we know are going to be obvious, that we're helping somebody in need or we're filling this need for somebody or in our community. But you know, for us individually, that's where we struggle with it. Am I really making a difference? Does it really matter what I'm doing? And I would dare say, if I asked you today, how many of you feel that way? How many of you feel like, I just don't know if I'm where I ought to be, and I don't know if I'm really making a difference? If I asked you to raise your hand, I would say probably half the hands in here would go up. Because there are times where I've felt that way too. And so when it comes to that matter of meaningful activity, that's when we start getting close to Christ. And it flows naturally out because of our relationship with Him. And then ultimately, we're like Paul. We're Christ-centered. And everything was all about for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I don't know anything but Christ and Him crucified. And it wasn't that Paul was a weird fanatic or anything like that, where nobody could relate to him in the community, that he was that oddball, that just, you know, he was super religious. I don't think that that's the picture that you have of Paul. I think Paul was just so about Jesus that everything he did in normal everyday activities, he focused on Christ and His kingdom and how he could bring other people to it. And he had boldness at times and preached and went into difficult circumstances and situations. But yet, he was not an odd guy. He was not a weird guy in his community. That people knew him, respected him, and he was one that just was convicted that Jesus was the most important person to him in his life. And it showed in what he was doing. He was doing all the missionary journeys and all the kingdom work because of this relationship. It flowed naturally out of that commitment. And so that's what our goal ought to be, folks. It shouldn't be just about activity. It ought to be about growing close to God so that with our relationship with God developing, then our activity flows out of that. And so let's not miss the emphasis. Our emphasis is not on doing. Our emphasis is on growing in Christ. And the more we grow in Christ, the more we're going to be active, the more we're going to be involved. The other part of this is the fact that we want to do all that we can here at Stony Point, and it's hard to know exactly how to do this, so any suggestions would be great. It would be great if we could go to each individual who is a part of this church and help them to grow spiritually. And we want to know how we can do that in an effective way. Now, I've heard and read things, and what a lot of places do is they do stuff together. You know, and if we talk about getting engaged in the Scriptures, and that's the common denominator for growth, folks. If you want to grow spiritually, you've got to get into the Word. There's no other way around it. You can't work your way into it. You've got to stay in the Bible. And you've got to figure out how that translates into everyday life as well. Not just be reading it, not to say I read the Bible through this year, but to intentionally look into the Word for your source of guidance and strength every day. It's not that you're going to open it up and you're going to have the answer for Tuesday sitting in front of your face. But what it's going to do is your dependence on the Word of God is eventually going to help translate into how that works every day. And that's going to bring about that spiritual growth. That's your spiritual nourishment. And so we want to know how we can do things more together and help one another along, because that's really what it's all about. When you got somebody who's struggling, the best thing to do is to reach down and help pick them up if you're ahead of them. And that's what we want to do. I think that's the principle that we find in the Scriptures of the older teaching the younger. The older men to teach the younger men. The older women to teach the younger women. That spiritual development is almost a community type thing in the church. That not only are we individuals that are trying to grow, but we help one another to grow. And so that's the atmosphere that we want to cultivate here. We want to emphasize again, all of us getting into the Word of God and figuring out again how we can help one another understand it better, and that development will come about. And so, again, our activity in the kingdom should flow from our relationship with Christ. And today, as you look at your relationship with Him, and you think about the text that we read here at the very beginning, Philippians 1:27, notice he says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." What's he saying there? He says, let your conduct be consistent with that of Jesus, whether I'm watching you and present with you or not. Don't do it just because I'm there. Do it because you want to do it because Jesus is a part of your life. And not only that, but he says, don't worry about your adversaries which to them is a proof of perdition, but to you, salvation and from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, that early stage, but also to suffer for His sake. And I think that's that latter stage that we talked about. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hears in me. You know, not only are we going to believe in Christ, but we're going to be willing to suffer for His name. In order to do that, we got to grow spiritually. We got to be at a mature place to be willing to sacrifice, be able to endure suffering for Him. And so today, as you look at your life and you think about these stages, what stage are you in? Are you exploring Christ today? Maybe you're interested in who Jesus is. Maybe you'd like to know more, but you don't know exactly how He connects into your daily life. And we can help you with that. We'd be glad to talk with you about what it means to become a Christian, what it means to start growing in Christ. It may be that you are a committed Christian. That is that second stage, that now you're growing in Christ, but maybe you're stalled. And no doubt there are people who have stalled out spiritually, and you need a jump start.